Let's pray for the message. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us concerning our souls and sometimes the times when we experience that dark night of the soul. And I ask that you would take the words that I speak and give them life so that they become words for each of us from you. And I ask that you would bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the fifth in this series on our souls, soul searching. So far, we have looked at what the soul is. Then we've looked at its eternal nature. We have looked at how needy our soul really is. And then we have looked at who is responsible for the care of our own soul. Today, I want to look at the dark night of the soul. Most all of us have probably heard that term. The terminology dark night of the soul comes from a guy who lived about 500 years ago by the name of St. John of the Cross. He devoted his life to reforming the church, but his attempts were attacked and he ended up in prison. And it was there that he wrote his famous work, The Dark Night of the Soul. He talks about how God works on us to grow us in our faith journey in life. And God doesn't do it by giving us all joy and light and rainbows and butterflies. He grows us through confusion and disappointment and loss a lot of the time. He grows us through suffering. And it's not just the experience of suffering, but it is suffering that feels like God is silent. If you ask people who don't believe in God why they don't believe in God, most of them will give suffering as the reason. If you ask people who believe in God when they grew most spiritually, they will give suffering as the reason. So I guess it depends on your viewpoint, doesn't it? Because our soul is the deepest expression of who we are, the soul is actually the place of greatest pain in us. We do not speak of the dark night of the mind or the dark night of the will or even the spirit. We talk about the dark night of our souls. Have you ever felt as if God had let you down? Or have you ever felt that he has withdrawn his protective arm from you? Actually, the question is kind of silly in some ways because if you live very long, we know the answer before we ask it, and it's yes. We have felt like that. Now, I've been a pastor for 45 years, and I have walked hospital corridors with people who have experienced death and suffering and pain. And I have seen the prayers of so many people seemingly go unanswered. I've been the guy who has been present in the name of God to comfort people who have watched husbands or wives, brothers or sisters, parents, and children slip from them just when their families seem to need them the most. I have heard it said to me, or as so many pastors have, if prayer is the answer, why don't I get an answer to my prayers? Why doesn't God speak? Why doesn't he at least offer an explanation? Why is he so silent? You know, we see our praise here in church, and the songs indicate that God is an ever-present help in trouble. But the fact remains that millions of people have cried out to God in trouble, and the only answer they received was what might be described as a hollow echo. We seek help, but it does not come, and we experience the dark night of the soul. We seek help to overcome temptation, but strength to resist temptation does not arrive. We beg for the life of some loved one, and the loved one is taken in death. Parents pray for the physical and spiritual safety of their sons and daughters, And then those same children fall into some death trap of life, and it breaks their parents' hearts. We recognize that this is a common experience of humanity, but we all hope it will happen to somebody else. And then it doesn't. Jeremiah, the prophet, felt that God had let him down and wholly indifferent to his prayers. And he expressed his anger and his frustration in a very powerful way. Read with me Jeremiah 15, 18. "Why is my pain unceasing, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Wilt thou be to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail?" The Apostle Paul experienced this same seemingly indifference and silent treatment from God as well. And he asked the Lord repeatedly to remove the thorn from his flesh, and yet it was never removed. And Paul carried that infirmity to the grave with him. So read with me 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 9, the first half. Here we go. "And to keep me from being too elated by the abundance of revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I besought the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" Martin Luther was chased all over Europe by the Roman Catholic Church as a heretic. But he was a strong believer in God's goodness and power. But he once asked this. He said, "My God, are you dead?" Thomas Carlyle, a deeply religious man at heart, once looked over the slums of London and he said, in apparent disgust, "God sits in his heaven and does nothing." We remember the word of our Lord Jesus on the cross, which I am so glad he said it first. My God, why have you forsaken me?" Read with me Matthew 27, 46. "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' that is, 'My God, why hast thou forsaken me?'" Well, I expect he heard it from the psalmist who wrote it in Psalm 22. Read with me the first two verses of Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me, from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but thou dost not answer, and by night, but find no rest." If God is dynamic, aggressive love, why then this apparent indifference, this stony silence? Could not God at least speak words of assurance to his only begotten Son? And to make it more contemporary, why no answer to some of our prayers? Why the silence in answer to our prayers? And I'm so glad that Jesus said it first. My God, why have you forsaken me? The dark night of the soul is not simply the experience of suffering, but it is suffering that feels like the silence of God. When we become Christians and we are young in the faith, we actually delight in devotional activities like reading and studying the Bible. We actually want to be in worship, and we are in prayer a lot. We think that this is a sign of our spiritual maturity. It is in actuality a kind of honeymoon phase or an adolescent faith. In the dark night of the soul, things are different. The silence of God is very often the beginning of God bringing a soul to a deeper understanding of the eternal nature of life. The dark night of the soul is a time when reading the Bible is kind of like eating straw. And books and songs and sermons and Bible studies leave the soul cold. In the dark night of the soul, if you are a person who is seeking to be God's man or woman, we come to a point where only a new expression or manifestation or testimony of the Lord will answer to your darkness. God will bring you to a point where you can't live on past revelation. It is also important to understand that the dark night of your soul is not your fault if you are actually walking with the Lord. Now, it's possible to be in a dark place because of sin, or preferring an idol like money or ambition or a profession or a position, because you can get into darkness because of those kinds of things, or simply becoming lazy. You can get lazy and get into the dark. But those are not the dark night of the soul. That is you just living in darkness. The dark night of the soul comes from God, and I grew up in the time, dates me, I grew up in the time of bench seats in cars. How many of you know what that means? Good, I'm glad a few of you are still around. This example reflects those bench seats. A husband and wife are driving together, and she says to him, "When we were dating, we used to sit next to each other while we drove, and you would have your arm around me. I would lay my head on your shoulder. I felt so loved. Now look at the distance between us." And the husband replies, "Guess who moved?" In the dark night of the soul, it is God who is about to let you know that we are moving into a deeper relationship in this life. You can't live in your past because God is moving on in his relationship with you. And in this case, it is God who has moved and you haven't. God may be still in the car, but if you're driving your life, he may be scrunched up small and pressing hard against the passenger side door because the relationship has changed. He should be driving and you should be sitting next to him, but you are intent on driving yourself. God's love is not content to leave us at a comfortable place when we know just how God wants us to live this life. You can't continue to grow on the strength of what has been an earlier evidence of God's working in your life. Every time he leads you to a deeper development or a deeper point of growth or a step in your growth in life, you're going to find that there is a corresponding challenge in terms of your own personal faith. And when this time comes upon you, it usually is like darkness where you can't see how things will work out or turn out. And the difficulty of the darkness will move you to a place of discovering more of his way. You know, we all come to points in our lives where we have to admit, you know, I am really in the dark about my life. I don't know where I am, where I'm going, or how it's all going to work out. It's the dark night of the soul, and the universe is silent. Some of us get angry at ourselves. Some of us get angry at God or at the world around us or just in general because we actually think it is about us. Some of us will fuss and fret and do all we can to get our sense of well-being back. Other people will just sit down. And when these dark times come upon our souls, I think most of the time it's just a lack of patience because we don't want to live by God's timing in our lives. What do we do in the dark night of the soul? Well, you need to know the truth. The only way that God can bring you to a readiness to receive the next thing that he is going to teach you is by bringing you to a place where you know that you don't know. And there's something new that needs to be made clear to you. You need to understand something new. And it happens when we are in the dark night of the soul. When we're waiting in the dark night of the soul, what do we do usually? Well, I know this. When you're in the dark, there really isn't much we can do. So a lot of times we just do nothing. We wait. But the problem is we all wait differently, don't we? Some of us fret and fume when we wait. Now, if we're smart, in the dark night of the soul, we remember that we aren't God. And we just kind of hold on and we ask for help. Some of us, we resign from things. Some people in the dark night of the soul stop going to church. Or we ask somebody else to pray because we can't. Or we let go of our need to hurry. We just kind of sit down. When you're in the dark night of the soul, it is smart not to run in the dark. Because you can trip on things and run into things. You know, as a pastor and as a human being, I see a lot. As a pastor, I can give you all the good scriptures that speak to the hope for direction towards God with our lives. They are psalms that give us a sense that God is in control and God hears our prayers and gives us hope in terms of things. But there are other scriptures that speak to the dark night of the soul. Read with me Psalm 58, verses 6 to 9. Here we go. Oh God, break the teeth in their mouths, tear out the fangs of the young lions, O Lord. Let them vanish like water that runs away, like grass. Let them be trodden down and wither. Let them be like the snail which dissolves into slime, like the untimely birth that never sees the sun. Sooner than your pots can feel the heat of thorns, whether green or ablaze, may he sweep them away. Now, read with me Lamentations chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. I am the man who has seen affliction under the rod of his wrath. He has driven and brought me into darkness without any light. Surely against me he turns his hand again and again the whole day long. He has made my flesh and my skin waste away and broken my bones. He has besieged and enveloped me with bitterness and tribulation. He has made me dwell in darkness like the dead of long ago. Now, I'm going to tell you, these two scriptures, by the way, like so many others in the Bible, don't get used at a lot of prayer breakfasts. They also don't get used in a lot of sermons either. These are scriptures where the speaker is boiling over or is in a really dark place. It's the dark night of the soul. But we need to acknowledge the truth that sometimes this is where we might be. And dare I say it, there may be somebody here today and you are in the dark night of the soul. And maybe that's why you're here. This is sometimes where we might be, or friends we know, or family we know might be, or people in the church. When we suffer the pain in our souls. Churches today, including this one, have straightforward models for spiritual growth and pathways for devotional life. What we and so many other churches rarely speak about or help people with is the dark night of the soul. We are uncomfortable with it for several reasons, actually. I think it reminds us of our own dark nights of the soul and the fact that there is really no set way to help people with the dark night of the soul. We work with programs and formulas and models of growing. But the dark night of the soul does not respond in a straightforward manner to going towards the light. The dark night of the soul is when we need to learn to listen. It's also where we actually learn to wait in silence. And let me tell you something, waiting is the test. You know, we actually have a couple of ministries that focus part of their use on the dark night of the soul, and the Stevens Ministry and our Sozo Ministry speak to the dark night of the soul. The Great Banquet also does this to a certain extent, even though it is a short course in Christianity. But waiting and living through darkness is the test. Think about our impatience as people. Somehow for many of us, if it takes more than 2 weeks for something to happen, it's an enormous test of faith. There are a lot of us who need to go back and help Noah build the ark, which took 100 years to build, and some of us need to ponder how Noah must have felt slugging it out for a century on one boat. About 50 years into the project, you might get just a little bit discouraged. God's not talking to you, and you're out there just doing your thing. You haven't heard from him since you were told to build the boat. You might just be feeling a little bit in the dark about life. Waiting on the Lord is building the root system of your life, but waiting is the test. A lot of times that waiting time is in the dark night of our souls. Waiting is the test that grows our roots. You and I are living spiritual souls who are having a physical experience. Each of us is a collection of conscious experiences of life. We are spiritual beings, but we're having a physical experience, and it's not just bodies and appetites. We are our experiences. In the dark night of the soul, we wait for God if we are wise. When the darkness comes, and it does for all of us at some point, and maybe several times during our lives, it is best to wait. But waiting is tough. You know, God tries our patience by his slowness. We tend to be swift. We want things to happen right now. We want things to be accomplished quickly. But timing is so important. It is important because God puts things together at his pace. There is actually something awe-inspiring when we wait for God to bring things to completeness or fruition in our lives and in the lives of others. The problem is we have to wait for God. Sometimes we wait in the thunder and lightning that is going on all around us. Sometimes we wait in the dark. God never comes to those who don't wait. God's agenda is different than yours or mine. So my advice for all of us in the dark night of the soul, especially when we're in the dark night of the soul, when he comes, go with him, but move a little behind him. You don't want to get ahead of God. When he speeds up, quicken your pace. But when he seems to slow down, slow yourself down a bit. In the dark night, whether it is suffering or lack of direction, be still, for he is God, and you're not. Let's pray. Lord, in the dark nights of our soul, help us to walk a little bit behind you. And not get in a hurry. And if you speed up, then let us quicken our pace. But help us to be with you even in the dark night of our souls. In Jesus' name, amen.